go ahead and jump into the sermon. So, Father, bless us as we look into your word. I recently read about a couple who were married several years, and they were trying to decide whether or not they should sleep in separate rooms. He was a snorer, she not so much, and apparently they, on the advice of a friend, had tried it out a bit, each sleeping in another room for a few days, you know, just kind of see how it went. And they also talked to some friends who had wrestled with the decision on their own, and those friends told them, "We tried it, but what changed our mind was the loneliness. We found that we just missed having someone there in a way that we did not expect, just having the presence of someone there was a comfort." That is part of being human sometimes, isn't it? Even if you're an introvert to the extreme, there are still times where you just need someone, need to know someone is near. We all know this about infants, that and who would do such a horrible experiment? But that an infant left alone without human contact will not thrive in the same way one does, that will, that has. I mean, we are relational creatures. We were made, Henry Nouwen writes about, Nouwen writes about this, we were made for relationships before anything else. You know, a baby sometimes will respond to hearing a voice in the womb. They don't understand the words. But it's in that relational capability that we're able to love and we're able to know so much good. There are times where just having the presence of another is a necessary thing. And by the way, I would add that is one of the strengths of a smaller church. Have you ever gone to a church where, you know, at first it's you know, it's a large church and you just feel like, hey, I can be anonymous here and this is kind of cool. And everything's loud and it's dark and, you know. But then after a while, nobody knows me here. And I go off into my car and I put on my music and I go home and I turn on my shows. And the beauty of being a smaller church is that we do know each other and we do love each other. And the beauty of being a praying church is that we love each other better than if we were not. Because the Holy Spirit moves through those relationships and helps us to pray for each other and love each other well. Again, often in spite of ourselves. This whole concept of relationship, God's Word talks a lot about it in the area of presence, specifically the presence of God with us. It's one of those things, you either have it or you don't. And oh, we want it. We want it. Because if we have it, if we have Him, the presence of God, it is the difference between a life that is favored and blessed regardless of our circumstances and one that, yes, has blessings, but is also empty. Moses points to this in Exodus 33, verses 12 through 17, our scripture for today, out of our reading plan. Moses has just left Egypt with the Hebrew people. God has met them on Mount Sinai. And then there's this whole problem of the golden calf, and God withdraws his blessing, and a plague occurs, and the God tells them, I'm not going to go with you. I'll send an angel to go ahead of you, but I'm not going. And the people mourn because of this. They humble themselves. They take off their jewelry. They stop thinking, wait a minute, it's all about me. You ever been through some of those times where God allows stuff to happen in your life, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I need to dial it back in some areas, don't I? And this is what's happening on a national scale. And Moses goes to meet with God again, and God speaks to him closely, closely. The analogy Scripture uses is face-to-face. Now, Moses could never see God face-to-face and live. We see that, by the way, God revealed himself to Moses later. But there was such a closeness relationally in his relationship, I mean, in his communication with God, that it was like face-to-face. And in those conversations, Moses says to God, remember, these are your people. He's interceding for them. Let's jump in there. Exodus 33, starting with verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with us, with me and with your people, unless you go with us? What will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Look at that plea. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Even an angel that God had promised previously will not do. Nothing compares to God's presence and the peace that it gives. Verse 14, I will give you rest. So did God change his mind when he said that he wouldn't go with them and then went after all? Not at all. Not at all. This is something that people who don't understand biblical prayer often miss, because they think of prayer as transactional. It's just black or white, just, you know, questions and answers, this kind of thing. I didn't get my prayer answered, therefore God did not hear or is not there, or the answer was no. But God's ways are not our ways, and his mind is able to encompass any number of possibilities that you and I cannot conceive of. Think of the number of dimensions that you and I function in, and yet how many more there are. And God is over all of that and is able to move freely, not only in any of them, but outside of them. And this is one of the reasons why we can and should pray and believe for miracles. And some people, though, they like to have it all neatly tied together, and they say that, well, because God is sovereign, that means he's going to do what he will do, and our prayers make little difference in it. I actually heard a man pray like that one night, and I had to pray a little bit of a correction beside him. Because that's not the way Scripture describes prayer at all. It's a vital and powerful interaction between personalities. And the way we are living makes a difference for what happens with our prayers. Just look at what happens here. The people change their behavior. They humbled themselves. And Moses asks God, and God's relationship, Moses' relationship with God makes a difference for them. Because I am pleased with you, I will go with you on behalf of the people. Do you see the power of an intercessor there? Because that's what's happening. I will do the very thing you have asked. What if he hadn't asked? Is it not possible that a sovereign God allowed for that possibility of Moses asking? Of course. Because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. I know you by name. Again, there's a closeness there. Let's go back to that whole relational thing again. Think of Adam and Eve with God in the garden, later being driven from the Lord's presence. And it changes the world. And that's the challenge of all of this. The presence of God can also be a frightening thing if our hearts are not right. To walk in the presence of God, we have to want Him. And we have to be giving ourselves to Him, wanting Him more than our sin and more than our self-will. And that will be a challenge sometime, won't it? And we got to be honest about that, but it's that honesty that God wants most of all. Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. That's Moses. God is still pleased with him, right? Maybe not his best moment, but indicative of why God knew him by name. That's the whole sense of that Hebrew concept, knowing by name. You know someone's essence. This is who they are. Oh yeah, that's James. I know how he's going to respond, you know, if I say something to him about this. It implies an understanding of a person's heart. But again, we want the presence of God with us because He's within us through His Spirit. He has promised that, yes. But the question again is, are we with Him? Because there is a difference between His being with us and our being with Him, isn't there? And we know this. Not just intuitively, it goes deeper than that. We know this through the work of the Spirit within us. We know those dry times, those arid places in our souls, those arid times in our lives where we are going our own way and are not letting God in. But think of how Genesis tells us the Lord was with Joseph. If you read the Joseph story, Genesis 39, the Lord was with him, and he was blessed because of it. And you see it again and again in his life. Think of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and there was a fourth person with them, right? With their in Nebuchadnezzar's fire. There was a fourth person with them in the fire who looked like what? A son of the gods. Think of how 1 Samuel 1:18 tells us that in everything David did, he had great success. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Think of how in 1 Samuel 13:14 he is described as a man after God's own heart. Think of the praises that came from David's heart. the psalms that he wrote, the beauty of God's Spirit moving in him. To live in God's presence is to go deeper with God. Scripture describes, for example, being with God in his word, not just as seeking him for knowledge's sake, but seeking him for his sake. If you will, panting for his presence, his peace. It's also prayer, not for the sake of, well, I'm going to pray now, you know, but because we have to pray. There's a sense in which we're desperate for him. We're desperate for him because we've tried it another way and we've gotten sick of ourselves. And we know that if we go his way, even though things are difficult in the moment, we will meet him. We will see him at work. It's the whole difference between God keeping his distance from the proud. And what is a proud person except one who is so self-focused they can't see anything else? And giving grace to the humble. Someone who's able to let God in and admit their need. There's nothing presumptuous about living in the presence of God. It is the very opposite of self-righteousness. So when we talk about this, you know, it's more like a child reaching up a hand, Abba, Father, take my hand and lead me through life. And the beautiful thing about the presence of God is that sometimes you can see it on people's faces. You really can. I started noticing it when I was a child. And I didn't know why these people stood out to me. There was old Mr. Gish, who was in his 90s, who sat in front of us in the church annex at Emmanuel Faith Community Church in Escondido, California. And there was just a glow about him. There was something about him. Even then I saw it. There was this lady who sang in the choir, and it was the 60s, and she had kind of the semi-bouffant hairdo, but she praised Jesus. And somehow, even then, I saw it. And I saw the presence of God over and in men, strong men who worked in agricultural fields, but were praying down at an altar, weeping for those they loved and for those who didn't know Jesus. Sometimes the Spirit gives us this sense. You can see it. But we don't always feel the presence of God. It's not because God isn't there. It's just how we're wired, right? Broken people in a broken world who need a Savior. And whereas in our souls he has saved us and made us new, he's still in the process of helping us live into a relationship with him. But there are also times where the presence of God becomes a palpable thing when it hasn't been for you, where you've been in that place and you're wondering, where are you? That's why David would write, I love the Lord, because he heard my voice and my cry for mercy. And David speaks of running to God as his refuge and his strong tower and his place of safety. And that's just not metaphorical. Right? That's not just David being poetic. It is that place that happens, and sometimes it happens in the middle of the night when all of your worries and fears come pressing in on you and you know they're too much for you. And you don't know what the future holds. You don't know where the circumstances are going to end up, but you run to him. And in him, you find peace. Nothing has changed, except where you are. Now you're with him. And so he is your refuge and your fortress and your strong tower, and the righteous run to him and are safe, his word says. God has ways. He is faithful. And he will give us strength even in those moments where the devil, and I think especially in those moments where the devil will not leave us alone. If we learn to quiet ourselves and stop fretting and turn to him, run to him as our refuge. It's literally hiding ourselves in him. We can do that, can't we? And then, come what may, you have strength. But you have a helper in the circumstances that is unlike any other. Think about Stephen when he was stoned to death. Think about what was said. Remember, his face shone like the face of an angel. He was being stoned to death, but he was in the presence of God. We want this. This presence about us, around us, over us, under us, within us. We want this. It starts by asking for it, by running to him, by praising him, by staying in that place of prayer and necessity, by staying in his word, by staying with his people as they come to worship together, by starting the day in that place of, Lord, I'm not going to run off into this day until I'm with you. In taking those places where we're tempted to sin and saying, Abba, Father, here this is, you know my heart, I need your help. I submit myself to you. I believe that submission to God is something that has to happen moment by moment, and maybe it happens increasingly by degrees, but if it doesn't happen in the moment, there's no sense in saying that we are. We want this presence about us. Just a couple of days ago, I was in the Nashville airport, and I ran into Martin Cove. Does anybody? He's the guy who plays John Kreese, the bad guy in The Karate Kid. And he was there with his custom-made shirt, and his cleft chin and sunglasses and movie star smile. And just seeing him made me smile. Another time years ago at an airport, Carrie and I ran into Michael Landon, if you remember him. We had a nice conversation with James Earl Jones. I don't know why this happens to us at airports. And they all had this presence about them that seemed kind of larger than life. But it was nothing compared. To the presence of God that is evident in just someone who knows him and loves him. I think of people that I even saw as a child, and I was able to mark it. Even then, I had never seen them in a movie. Think about this. Psalm 21:6 describes it as the joy of your presence. In Acts 2, Peter quotes Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." You know it. There's a saying, wherever you go, there you are. Meaning that we cannot escape ourselves. But there is someone who loves us, who wants good for us, who has things in mind and heart better than we want for ourselves, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And he calls us beyond ourselves to walk with him into love, into life. He longs for us with a love greater than a mother's heart. And he misses us. He actually misses us when we don't walk with him. Because he loves us that much. And wherever you go, there he is. Oh, just to be with him. May we pray. Father, help us in this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are here. Thank you that you promise your presence where your people pray together, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have been with us. Even in times where we couldn't see it, we can look back and see it. But, oh, Lord, I pray, maybe there's someone today who hasn't walked with you that will learn to walk with you. Even today, take their first steps. Lord, thank you that we can. Thank you that you made us for this. Thank you that you just call us to be honest and admit our need for you and ask for your forgiveness, and you are so good you'll give it, to invite you in, and you will make your home with us. Bless us, Father, to be at home with you today and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
So I don't know who's been doing it, but someone has been putting little plastic Jesuses around Peace Church. And I think that's just fine. I'm glad you do. Apparently they feel that the pastor needs two of them. We need him. And how good it is that that is his name, Emmanuel, God with us. And if we pray, teach us, teach me to abide, he will. If you want to, you know, we send out on the email the lyrics to the songs. If you want to just pray the lyrics to the song that we just sang this week, be a good thing. Lord, thank you that we never arrive until we're with you. But you keep working with us, and you keep loving us wherever we are. So, Abba, Father, would you help us just to grasp your hand a little tighter this week, to call on you a little more, to praise you more, to love you more, and so love others more as well. Would you bless us to be witnesses, to share your love with someone? But, oh Lord, help us just to be with you. Thank you. You are with us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all God's people say, Amen. Go in peace.